How is everyone this morning? Like what Pastor say, right? We are going to wrap up our Unlimited series. There are four parts to this series, right? And you know, if y'all listen to the video, you know, you saw the video just now during the offering the time, right? There's one word that actually caught me, right? I don't know whether y'all heard it or not, but the word is "if you are willing." How many of y'all heard that? If you're willing. Then what's the next sentence? The next sentence says that if you're willing, God can and will make wonders through your hands. You know? And if you believe this today, right, you know, God can make wonders. Do you believe that, church? Amen? All right. So as we unwrap and wrap up, all right, our Unlimited series, right, I just want to share with you a few things on how we can be a blessing, all right, to the people around us. Okay, so let's look at first week. Pastor shared about the brook and the raven, right? It's about Elijah, where God asked Elijah to go to the brook, and you know, God actually sent the raven to bring food to Elijah, right? How many of y'all know that the raven is a scavenger, right? It's a scavenger. And what does a scavenger mean? Scavenger means they are a very selfish animal, you know. So for a selfish animal to bring food to someone, right, it's impossible, right? Say a selfish person bring food to someone, to share food with someone is impossible. What more, a bird, right? So this is, of course, a miracle, right? Okay, then after that, we had Brother Casey to come, our international speaker, to share about the flour and the oil. That's our inside joke. All right, the flour and the oil. And it was also Elijah, right? He went to this widow, and he asked for water, right? Ask water. And after he asked for water, what did he do? He asked for food also, you know. He asked for food. Then the widow says, well, I only have enough flour and oil to make our last bread. And after I make the last bread, I'm going to eat with my son and die. Oh, so beautiful, right? You know, and you know what Elijah said? Hey, woman, listen to me. Bring that bread for me first. First. So insensitive, right? If I was there, I'd slap you. No, lah. You know, but anyway, Elijah challenged the widow, right? Bring that bread for me first that I may eat it. You know, but what happened after that? The miracle happened. The flour and the oil, it never finished. Right? And they had food throughout the whole famine, right? Is that a miracle, right? Right? Now after that, last week, Pastor came back and shared with us the oil and the jar, right? And also, again, this time it's Elisha. Elisha was Elijah's servant, right? And, you know, as you all know, Elisha received a double portion of what Elijah had, the anointing, right? So what happened? Again, a widow, right? A widow came up to Elijah and said, oh, my husband died, you know, and then there are so much debt that we owe to the debtors, and they're coming to collect the debt, and they're going to take over the house, they're going to take my children, sell out of slavery, you please help me, oh, Elisha, please help me, right? Working in a bank, right? I know what collection is all about, you know. And you know, Elisha told the woman, go to your neighbors and collect as many empty jars as possible, right? And then with that one jar of oil that you have left, pour into all the empty jars. Pour. So they pour until the last jar finished already, no more empty jar, the oil stopped. And she took the oil cell, and then she was able to pay off the debtors. Right? I used to work in debt collection before. Really, it is one of the most difficult jobs in the world. You know, because you know why this? There was once, right, this lady came up to me. You know, her husband actually ran away, left her with two kids. And the youngest one was a baby. She came up to me, sit in front of me and cried. Please don't take my house away from me. My husband has run away. My baby is so small. Don't make me sleep under the bridge. But anyway, all things ended well. Huh? But you know, that is what it was like, you know. I mean, the desperation. Right? The desperation. So you can feel the desperation of the widow. Alright? And Elijah helped her. And again, it is a miracle. Right? It's a miracle. So today I want to share with you about the barley and the grain. And we're going to unpack these few verses and see the miracle and how we can be part of a miracle. Amen? So are you ready in our church? Yeah. All right. Come, let's read. Anyone hungry? Actually, I'm a bit hungry. You know, because of the bread. So okay, let's read from 2 Kings chapter 4. verse 42 to 44. Okay, today's sharing will be from these few verses. A man came from Baal Shalisha. Let's read together, shall we? All right, okay, 1, 2, 3. A man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley bread, and fresh ears of grain in his sack. And Elisha said, give it to the man that they may eat. But his servant said, how can I set this before 100 men? So he repeated, give them to the man that they may eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left. So he set it before them, and they ate and had some left according to the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Eh? Father God, well, thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. We pray, God, that as we unpack these few verses, God, we ask, Lord, that you teach us, Lord, speak to us, teach us, Lord, how to be a blessing to the people around us, Lord. And we ask that you open our hearts to receive your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask and we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Okay. Now, as we read these words, right, these few verses, right, I'm sure y'all would want to know a little bit of background about this scenario. So I'm going to share with you, right, I'm going to share with you a little bit of the background of this one. So probably the first question that y'all will ask is, where is Baal Shalisha and where is Gilgal, right? So I'm going to give you a little bit of a geography lesson. I'm very bad at geography because I failed my geography in school. So that's why I went to science stream. But anyway, okay, so let's look at where Baal Shalisha is, right? So I asked Mr. Google, and I managed to get this map. Okay, so this big one is actually, can y'all see from this side, all right? It's actually a small, I pull out from this small part here, all right? Okay, so this is a big one here. And y'all can see this is where Gilgal is, okay? Where's Gilgal? That's where Elisha is. So if I zoom in a little bit, okay, this is where Gilgal is, okay? Don't look at the red spot first. So this is where Gilgal, and where is Baal Shalisha? Baal Shalisha is in the northwest, okay? If y'all know your compass, north is up, west is to the left, okay, northwest. And it's about three kilometers away, okay? So this is where, this red spot is where Baal Shalisha is. Okay, so this is a place, lah, all right, the place. So the man walked from here to here, okay? And he was bringing the bread and all those things, right? So if you want to know how far is it, it's like probably here to USM or maybe to RTS, right? So about 3 km, yeah? Right. Okay, so this is where Gilgal and Baal Shalisha is, all right? And then if you want to know where is it now in this current world, all right? So I got a map, all right? You all know this is this red line, okay? This is Israel, all right? That's right, this is Israel. Okay, so where is this place? It is actually at the West Bank, all right? This area here. Okay, so if somebody asks you, where is this place? You know, if you come across this word, somebody asks you, hey, where is Gilgal, where is Baal Shalisha? At least you can tell them, oh, it's near to West Bank. Okay, all right? Okay, so done with geography lesson now. Okay, next question you're going to ask is, why did the man from Baal Shalisha bring barley loaves and first grains to Elisha at Gilgal? Right, you want to know why is he doing this? Right, so look at the scenario around this. Why did the man walk 3 kilometers bringing bread and first his grain to Elisha and give it to Elisha at Gilgal? It's because it is a custom or a law during that time. Okay, so I'm going to bring you back a little bit before 2 Kings, and if you look at Leviticus chapter 23, verse 9, right, and 10, it says that, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, the Lord, you know, okay, it's not anyone else, it's God, spoke to Moses saying, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land that I give you and reap its harvest, you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. Okay? The Lord said, you know, in my work, right, so I have a team, right, I have a team. So I have a group of executives who report, who report directly to me. Then we have support staff who supports the executive to do work, okay? To do work. So sometimes my executive will come up to me and say, hey, Terrence, I got some problems. I say, what is it? No, I try to get this one done, but the support staff is not responding. You know, so she's not helping me. So I will tell my executive, right? Chi Wei knows. I tell Chi Wei, you go and tell her that I said. So this is the situation here. This is the situation. The Lord said, all right? The Lord spoke. So you cannot like say, okay? All right? So the Lord told Moses. So this is a law, right? A law. So why did they have to bring to the priest? So I'll share with you. If you go a little bit back, a little bit more to Deuteronomy, right? Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 4, it says that the first fruits of your grain, of your wine, of your oil, and of your first fleece of your sheep, you shall give to him. Okay, this is from verse 4. So who are these? Who is this him, or who are these people? They are the priests and the Levites. So basically, the first fruits of your grain, right, when you give, you're actually giving provision to the priests and Levites. So if you have your NIV Bible, right, if you open to Deuteronomy chapter 18, right, you will see the title that provisions for priests and Levites. Okay? All right, so who are the Levites? All right, I'll bring you back a little bit. Who are the Levites? A bit of history, okay? The Levites, all right, actually are the descendants of Levi. Okay, the tribe of Levi is actually God's chosen tribe. They are God's chosen tribe to perform religious duties and holy services in the tabernacle. Okay, that means they are the priests. They are the priests, okay? They're doing it for Israel, okay? So in return, right, the landed tribes were expected to give tithe to support the Levites. Okay, this is a law. Listen carefully, this is from me, not from Pastor. That's why you must bring your tithes to the house of the Lord. It's provision for God's chosen one. I said, not he said one, okay? He never asked me to say also, So don't go and scold him, But it is true, right? We need to bring our tithe. That is the reason. So for those of you who don't understand why we need to give tithes, this is the reason. It is the law, all right? Okay? So let me ask you, Levi, God's chosen one, they did not inherit the land, correct? Because they are asked to do religious duties, they are the priests, okay? So, landed tribes, who are the landed tribes? Who is Levi? Levi is the son of Jacob, that's right. Bilhah got it correct. Son of Jacob. How many children does Jacob have? 12. So if you have 12 children and one son didn't get land, how many land was given out? 11. How many land was given out? 12, not 11. This is God's miracle in work. God's miracle, yeah. You know, sometimes for us, right, we always think that, 12 minus 1 equals to 11. But God's measurement is always different, man. Okay? So, how 12? All right, let me show you. This is the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay? So, you know, Jacob was later renamed as Israel. Okay, first son, his name is Reuben. Okay? So, Reuben got this piece of land. Okay? Then after that, the next one is Simeon, okay? And the third son's name is Levi. So he didn't have any inheritance of land, okay? Levi don't have. Then after that, the fourth one is Judah. This is where Judah's land, okay? Then after that, then Naphtali, okay? Then after that, it's Gad, okay? Then after that, Asher, okay? This is Asher, all right? Issachar, okay, you can't see a bit, it's quite hard to see, but Issachar is over here. Then the next one is Zebulun, all right? So Joseph had two shares, that's why it's 12, okay? You have Ephraim and Manasseh. So Manasseh had the biggest, right? And the last one is Benjamin, okay? So next time, if we ask you, right, the 12 tribes of Israel, you all know, at least. So this is a little bit of history. And I want to share with you all so that you understand the whole entire scenario of why the man from Baal Shelisha brought the barley loaves and the grain to Elisha in Gilgal. Okay? All right? Cool, everyone? All right. So, let us go back to the three verses, right, in 2 Kings. What was the circumstance there during that time? If you go like four verses above, right, then you can actually read in verse 38, it says here, Elisha came again to Gilgal when there was a famine in the land. All right, so what is a famine? What's famine? No rain, no food, right? No rain, no food. Okay, so in a famine, what happens? What happens during a famine? No food lah. You all say already ma. Well, there's no trick question. After that, 12, no more trick question. Okay, during a famine, right, no food, right, no food. So people worry. People tend to worry more about that little supply that they have over the people who are in need. Correct or not? So that time, I have so little ma. So of course, I'll take care of myself first, right? Correct or not? For example, I give an example. Let's say, for example, you have only left with 10 ringgit, okay? So this month, there are a few weddings, few funerals, and things like that. So you give. Tomorrow is payday. And you took out your wallet and say, oh, last $10, go to bank. No money, you cannot take out, cannot withdraw anymore. So you got last 10 ringgit in your hand, right? And you need to plan, what am I going to do, eat? What am I going to eat, right? So when I eat, I need to make sure I pay at least 8.50 of food so that I have 1.50 left for drink. Right? You buy 10 ringgit, no drink already, then how? Correct or not? So it's your last 10 ringgit, right? So you'll get the scenario, huh? As you walk to the restaurant, right, or the coffee shop, suddenly you got stopped by a beggar. Say, sir, I haven't eaten for a week. I'm very hungry. Can you please give me 10 ringgit? Then you look at your 10 ringgit, you look at the beggar. What will you do? How many of you are not going to give? Don't put your hands up. Because after this, probably you will be, I will give. All right? So this is the circumstance that at the time, right? Sometimes we are so fixated with what we have that we forget about what our Abba Father have. Okay? All right? So you need to look beyond that. Look beyond that. So today, right, the big question that we want to answer is, you know, the big question to answer is how to be blessed so that we can be a blessing. Okay, how to be blessed so that we can be a blessing. So in that scenario, right, if you want to bless that beggar, right, and if you believe in God, all right, you give already, right, your handphone ring. Pastor call you. Pastor said, hey, you free tonight for dinner? I bring you Equatorial Eat Buffet. You see how God works? Okay? So the big question we're going to ask today is how to be a blessed so that we can be a blessing. Okay? I'm going to share with you three secrets, okay? Three secrets on how to be blessed so that we can be a blessing. The first secret, are you ready? It's called the need. The need, okay? Let's look at the verse. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 42. It says here, a man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley bread and fresh ears of grain in his sack. And Elisha said, give to the man that they may eat. Okay, as you read these three verses, right, he says here, 20 loaves of bread and 100 men. Does it remind you of something else in the New Testament? Yeah? 2 fish, 5 loaves. And fed how many people? 5,000, that's right. Let's look at Luke chapter 9, verse 13 to 17, right? So it says here, but he said to them, Jesus said, this is Jesus, or the he is Jesus, said to them, you give them something to eat. They said, his disciples said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. Unless we go to buy food for all these people, then we can feed them, lah. Correct or not? Right? For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, Jesus said to his disciples, and says, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. You know, this is management. So whatever management you learn today, right, the guru, all, actually they took all from Bible. And so he said, okay, group them into 50. Easy to manage. Okay? And they did so and had them all sit down. And Jesus took the 5 loaves, the 2 fish. He looked up into heaven and said a blessing over them. Then after he broke into pieces and gave them to the disciples to eat. Okay, gave it to the crowd to eat. Okay, and they all ate and were satisfied. Satisfied, you know, and what was left over was picked up. 12 baskets of broken pieces. It's not that small basket in front here, you know, small little basket, but it's big basket, you know. The one the fishermen use one, big baskets. 12. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a miracle? You know what satisfied means? I come from y'all know I come from Ipoh, right? And I stay in a place where it's Gunung Rapat, you know, it's a small little village, Chinese village. You know, when I was young, then I like to cycle around. So as I cycle in the evening, right, about 7 plus, cycling home through Gunung Rapat main road. So you have those old Chinese uncle, right, after they have a good meal, you know what they do? They bring out their rattan chair, put it at the side of the road, okay? Then they'll sit down. Then they have this rattan chair rattan fan in their hand. And what they do is they wear their white singlet, right? So they roll up. Roll, show fat stomach. Then they sit down there, they fan the stomach. That is a picture of satisfaction. Can you imagine that? You know, the shirt will go around like that one, you know? Okay? So that is what they all ate and were satisfied. Imagine that, how many people roll up? I don't know, right? But there were more left over. So, as we look at these two verses, right, what are the similarities? What are the similarities? The first thing that you notice is that there were limited supply of food. In Elisha's case, there was only 20 loaves of bread, right? And in Jesus, it was 5 loaves and 2 fishes, okay? What is the other thing that is similar? Too many hungry people to feed. There was 100 guys, 100 men, and then 5,000 men, all right? Okay? But you see, if let's say, right, we were to look at the circumstance that's before us, then we will never be able to see the miracle, correct? What happened? What happened? All were fed and satisfied. So now every time I say satisfied, you all think about that uncle. Okay? They were all fed, and not only that, there were many left over. So much left over. So imagine, you know, if let's say I tell Chiwei, can you go downstairs buy 2 packets of nasi lemak, 2 packets for everyone here to share? Can Chiwei, can you go down and buy 2 packets of nasi lemak? We share everyone. So everyone take 1 grain of rice and eat. And half an ikan bilis, or probably less than that. Right? That's what we would think, right? But imagine, if after everybody eat, right, wow, we still got like 20 packets of nasi lemak out in front here. It's a miracle, right? So how many of you want to see that miracle in your life today? How many of you want to see that miracle in your life today? Everybody wants to see it, right? Okay? So, if you want to see it, you need to, the first secret is to see the need. Okay? You want to see a miracle in your life, to be blessed so that you can be a blessing to the people around you, you need to see the need first. Okay? In Elisha's case and in Jesus' case, they saw the need. What was the need? The need was 100 men, hungry men, 5,000 hungry men. And it's even excluding the women. All right? So if everyone was married, how many would that be? 10,000. Okay? One wife, Okay? If everyone have children, 2 children each, how many? 20,000, right? 5 plus 10, 20,000. And if you ever got 3 children, 25. It gets more, right? So if you look at it, right, how did this happen? How can everybody be fed? Because Elisha and Elijah saw the need. Okay? They saw the need. So my question to you today is, can you see that need in your life, in the life of the people around you? You want to be a blessing to people around you? Then you got to see the need. Alright? You got to see the need. So this is the first secret we're trying to share with you. If you want to be blessed, to be a blessing, you have to see the need. Just like Elisha. If you don't see the need, then there's no need. Correct? If there's no need, then God don't need to bless you. Okay? Alright? You understand what I'm saying? Okay? If God bless you and you keep it, then God look down and say, oh, okay, you have enough, next. Okay? But if God bless you and you bless other people, then God says, okay, good, thy faithful servant, I'll give you more. All right? So if you want to be blessed, make sure, see the need. All right? Amen? Okay, are you ready for the next one? Okay. Second one is the opportunity. Okay? All right. What's the opportunity? Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 43. It says here, but his servant said, how can I set this before 100 men? So Elisha repeated, give them to the men that they may eat, for thus says the Lord. Right? They shall eat and have some left. And if you look at Luke, all right, Luke chapter 9, verse 13, it says, but he said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fishes, unless we go and buy food for all these people. Okay? So the instruction is very, very clear from Elisha and Elijah. The instruction. Alright? What is the instruction? The instruction is, give to the people to eat. Alright? You give them something to eat. That is the instruction. Alright? Very clear. Correct or not? You know, those of you who own companies and all those things, right, when you tell your workers to do something, you made it clear, right? You don't say, never mind, you just go and do whatever you want to do. You think your business can grow? Can, all right? You got to give clear, precise instructions so that your staff know what to do so that your business can grow, right? So exactly, Elisha and Elijah gave very clear instruction. Let them eat. But what did they reply? They saw the challenge. They said, 100 men, 20 loaves. Can meh? The disciples here, 5,000 men, not even count the wife and children. I mean, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. No, if I ask you, right, to go and share a bread, let's say this is a piece of bread, I ask you to share a bread with, yeah, you remind me something. Last week, I actually was sharing with the youth, right? And he said, I don't mention him. I said, oh, this guy can eat 2. Oh. 1 person eat 2 bread, oh, but you got 100 men and you got only 20 loaves. That means 1 loaf, how many people? 5. Right? 100 divided by 20 is 5, right? So you take the bread. So I cut because I'm the one with the knife, right? I took a knife. So, okay, 4 of y'all, I cut for y'all now. Cut. 1, this is yours. 2, this is yours. 3, this is yours. 4, this is yours. This one is mine. How many of you would do that? Right? You need to share, right? Correct or not? Okay? So you cut. Nah. Then the rest is mine. Right? You know, when I was young, right? I go and we had this box. We received a bag of M&M. Me and my brother. So my younger brother, right? You know how I actually, in a way, bully him? One for you, 1 for me. 1 for you, 2 for me. 1 for you, 3 for me. 1 for you, 4 for me. So we human are kind of like selfish nature, right? Because we only focus on our own needs, right? So the challenge here was to feed 100 men with 20 loaves and to feed 5,000 men with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, correct? All right? Many times, right? With you, many times, right, if your focus is on the challenge, okay, it's not a challenge, you'll be overwhelmed. So it's all dependent on what you are focused on, right? The instruction came, right? Instruction came. But if you're focused on the challenge, then you'll find a lot of excuses. You'll find a lot of blame. You find a lot of complaints, right? Correct or not? You just try to absolve yourself from failure. Because you know that it is a job bound to fail. If I got 20 loaves and I need to feed 100 men, it's definitely going to be a failure. Because after people eat, they won't have enough, they're going to wallop me. You know? You get what I mean or not? So this is what happens. If we are always focused on the challenge, right, that's before us, then we will be overwhelmed. Okay? But I always say, if you can see the need, then you will see the opportunity as well. All right? The opportunity. If you focus on the opportunity, you'll be triumphant. Let me share with you why, all right? The question, do you know where the opportunity is? I'll give an example. let's say you... okay, it's the same thing. Back to my work, right? The easiest so I can help you all to relate currently, right? Back to my work. I always tell my staff, you know, when you talk to customer, you got to uncover the need. You uncover the need. Once you uncover the need, then you will see the opportunity. Then you can sell to the customer, correct? If you don't uncover the need, you will never see the opportunity because all you see is the challenges. Correct or not? If you go and ask someone, for example, I go and ask the customer, right? How's your business? Do you need a bank to support you? Because, I'm happy. All my banks are giving me enough loans and everything, blah, 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 blah. But I always say, find out the need, right? So ask question, ask. Then customers say, my bank keep on delaying my payment. Got opportunity or not? Got right? Correct or not? Got opportunity, right? Say, we can help you to ensure your payment is not delayed, right? So in Elisha and Elijah's case, right, the challenge was, to feed hungry people with limited supply, right? What was the opportunity there? What was the opportunity there? Can you all see? The opportunity is this. If I have 100 hungry people and 20 loaves of bread, if I can feed them and they are happy and satisfied, will they listen to what I'm going to say? Obviously, they will, right? Correct or not? And it is an opportunity for us to share the gospel, the good news. Correct or not? Right? So Elisha and Jesus saw the opportunity. It's not about feeding the people. It's about reaching out to these people. Okay? So when you see the need, you will see the opportunity. So if you want to be blessed so that you can be a blessing to people around you, you got to see the need first. Then after you see the need, right, then you will uncover the opportunity. And once you uncover the opportunity, right, this is the second secret that you are going to lead a blessed life. So that you can be a blessing, ah? Okay? Not blessed, full stop. All right? So, do you know where is the opportunity or not? Okay? This is a question, right, whereby you will never find in the verse 1. The verse will not tell you that, oh, this is the opportunity. You got to uncover it. All right? Okay? All good? All clear? Any questions? None so far? Good. All right. The third and last secret, okay, for you to lead a blessed life so that you can be a blessing to people around you, it is the miracle. Okay? Let's read verse 44. So, he said it before them. Who is this he? This he is Elisha's servant. And do you know what is his name? Gehazi, all right? G-E-H-A-Z-I. So if you are expecting to get a boy, you can name him Gehazi. Yeah? Wow, what a name. All right. And they ate and had some left, according to the word of the Lord, all right? The miracle, they ate, had some left. In Luke, right, they all ate and were satisfied, and what was left over was picked up. 12 baskets full. The miracle. How many of you have seen miracles in your life? Everyone wants to see miracle in their life, right? I also want to see miracle in my life. You know? The miracle, right, is in 2 Kings chapter 4 and in Luke, is people ate, people were satisfied, and they were left the world. It's not just eat, it's also satisfied. I'm happy. I'm full. Okay? I'm full. And I have some leftover. Okay? So how did the miracle happen? How did the miracle happen? You want to see miracle in your life, right? So if you want to know how the miracle happened, right, there's 2 points to it. The first one is Elisha and Jesus knew who to turn to. Okay, they knew who God is. He is our unlimited God, right? Unlimited. You know, the thing is sometimes, right, we can have a father who is so rich. For example, if let's say your father is Bill Gates, and somebody come and tell you, hey, can you help me feed the 100 guys? Cannot lah, I got no money. Pocket. Got no money. Cannot lah. Because you're looking at your own capacity, right? But if you know your dad is Bill Gates, just go to your dad lah. Say, dad, I need to feed 100 guys. Can you give me $1 million? Okay? The opportunity, ma, right? Okay? Jesus and Elisha knew who to turn to. That means they knew their identity. They knew that I am a child of God and my God is unlimited. But again, if they knew and they did nothing, nothing happens. So what is more important is they obeyed. They obeyed. They knew, they obeyed. Right? I was talking to one of my friends recently through Facebook, right? So there was an article he posted in Facebook. He says that now you can actually download information in your brains using some machine. Interesting, huh? No need to study. Your students, no need to study. Just put the machine and download. But again, a head full of knowledge is useless if you do not know how to apply. Right? It's all about application, ma. Right? You can have the knowledge of 1 plus 1 equals to 2, but then when you go out to do business, right, 1 plus 1, you give the guy 3. It's about application, right? Correct or not? So likewise, it's the same case here. They knew. So we know we are sons of God, right? Children of God, right? And when we receive instruction from God, go and bless that beggar with your last $10. Are you going to obey? Because you obey already, right? Pastor call you, ma. Right? Later you go down, right? They ask you to donate blood, right? Donate or not? Donate lah, never mind. Pastor said, I'll vomit blood for you. All right? You know, the thing is, right? Sometimes, right? When we are so perplexed with our own situation, right? We forget who we are. We forget our identity. And we cannot hear the commandment, the instructions. And then we don't obey. Right? The secret to seeing a miracle in our lives, right? The secret to seeing a miracle in our lives, right, is we need to know who we are. Know who our God is, who our Abba Father is, right? Our identity in Christ. And in that, right, we can cry out to God and obey His commandments. And you know, I tell you with this, right, you will see the miracles happen in your life. You know, and that is how we actually become, that's how we become blessed. So that we can be blessing to people around us. You need to see the need, right? The need. Then after the need, you need to uncover the opportunity. After you uncover the opportunity, right? You want to see the miracle? It's going to happen in your life. All right? So it's very simple, you know. Sometimes we are so focused on something else that we say that, no lah, God, this is so difficult, you know. I just want to do what I'm doing. Don't make me do something that's difficult or climb that mountain and things like that. But again, you know, sometimes we just like feel like, I'm happy where I am lah. But you know, like what the video says, right? If you're willing, remember? God can and will. Will what? Do wondrous things through your hands. And today, do you want to be that, right? You want to be that, right? You know, I just want to share with you a story. There's these two guys, friends since childhood, okay? A pessimist and an optimist, okay? You know what is a pessimist and an optimist, right? A pessimist is a person who, whatever also is negative one, pessimistic. Cannot lah, aya, bae one lah, forget about it lah. An optimist, right, is a person who says, everything is no problem, chill, can, sure can one, let's do it, right? Positive, right? Positive, negative. So they were friends since childhood. So every time the optimist says something, right, the pessimist sure shoot him down, you know. So one day, right, the optimist, he was walking in town, and then he came across this pet shop, right? He came across this pet shop. Then he saw a sign on the pet shop, right? It says, dog can run on water. Oh, Jesus dog can run on water. So he says, wow, I really need to show this to my friend. I want to see what he's going to say. So he bought the dog. Not cheap. He bought. Then he called a friend. Bro, let's go duck hunting. Duck hunting season open already, ma. Right, let's go duck hunting. Okay? Then he purposely took the friend, go to one spot, right, whereby there's a big lake. Okay, then he hid behind the bushes. And do this, quack, quack, okay? Then duck flew. Then he aimed and shot. Pom! Shot. The duck fell down, died. In the middle of the pond, of the lake. Then he told the dog, fetch! So obviously, the dog can run on water, right? The dog started running on water, you know. On the water. After the duck, pick up the duck, made a turn, and come back, you know. On the water. Amazing, right? Miracle, right? To a lot of us. So as the dog was coming back, right, he asked his pessimistic friend, right? So bro, tell me about my dog. So his friend looked at the dog. It's obvious lah, your dog cannot swim. you can laugh, okay? It's Sunday morning, it's a joke. Some people call it. You know, you get what I mean, right? Sometimes, right, in life, we can be so focused on the wrong things that we actually stop the miracle from happening. Even when the miracle happened, you still don't see it. You get what I mean? You still don't see it. You know, I want to share with you a testimony, right? How many of y'all feel that this year the economy is very difficult? Very, very bad? Yeah? Wow. Wow, you guys are blessed, man. Woo! So I don't have to preach you, Pastor. Wow, very optimistic. Okay. So, in the bank, it's never easy, all right? So we have, of course, there's the U.S.-China trade war, right? So it affects our business. You know, HSBC is an international bank, so we bank with U.S., we bank with China, we bank with all the customers all around the world and things like that. So with the U.S.-China trade war, we actually lost a big chunk of our business, all right? Then we have Brexit in Europe, Brexit, all right? And with Brexit, right, for us to look to Europe, also very, very tough. So all eyes are on Asia. And Malaysia, right, has been named one of the 8 growth countries. One of the 8 growth countries for HSBC in the world. 8 growth countries. So all eyes are on us, you know, to deliver the number. You know, and again, as I said, banks, right? When they give you money, you're very slow, but take money very fast. So they give us target. This is your target for 2019. Chiwe? Then... Okay. I will train the guns on someone else. Then they said, okay, this is your target for this year. Don't look at this target. We have stretch one target. Stretch one, you know. Stretch one. So this is 8%, this is 10%. Then boss says, forget about stretch one lah. We got stretch two. 14.7%. Chiwe? Okay. So I tell you, right, in such an economy, right, for us to actually achieve, don't say our main target, right, to achieve second target also is very, very tough. Correct, right? It's going to be a very tough year. So you know what I did? I prayed. All right, I prayed. I trusted God because I know, child of God. Okay, so I prayed. You know how I pray? I pray for my team. I name them one by one. Chiwe! All right? I name my team one by one. I name my boss. All right? I name my support. And then I also name my product partners who help me to run business. I name them one by one and I pray and ask God very specifically for business. For this. I've made it very specific, you know. Really, it's not a general prayer. God bless my business. Amen. Oh, there you go. No, I made it very specific. I said, I want to do this. Okay? That's how I prayed. And I prayed. Beginning of the year, pray. So last month, we went to KL for our rally. You know, it's a rally. It's like an annual dinner for all the commercial banking section, right? Everybody went the whole entire country. So in our business, we have 12 centers. Not enough finger. Put two legs out. We have 12 businesses, okay? 12 businesses. Six in KL Central, right? Six in the region. So we are one of the region. So out of 12 centers, right, do you know that actually 9 centers were negative growth? Only 3 were positive growth. All right, 3. And 2 centers were from KL. 2 centers from KL, the positive growth. 2 centers from KL, 1 from region. All right? I haven't finished yet. I haven't finished yet. So 1 positive growth from region, all right? So when we went for the dinner, everybody excited, then they announced the winner, the best team award goes to Penang. You know? And you know, I just want to share with you this. If you believe that God can do wonders and miracle, all right? Oh, our award was closest to stretch 2, okay? Closest verse to. So if you believe that God can work a miracle in your life, right, you know, and you know that God can use you today, right, just like what the video says, if you're willing, God can do wondrous things to your hand, right? And you know what's the biggest miracle of all? The biggest miracle is that, you know, apart from God blessing us so that we can be a blessing, the biggest miracle is that, you know, in John 6:35, it says here that Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Okay? Again, John 6:51, it says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And that bread will give, and the bread that I will give for the life, give for life to the world is my flesh. Why am I reading so fast? Right? It's God. God is that miracle, that bread. Okay, and if you say, right, today I have nothing that I can bless somebody with, okay, I just started work, I haven't got my first salary, or I got my first salary, but then I don't have enough also, all right, how can I bless somebody? Do you know that salvation comes from God? All right, it's not true, I reach out to you, you save, then I bring you to Christ. It's I share the gospel with you. But you being saved is God. Salvation belongs to God. Because why? Jesus came to die on, this, die on the cross for us. Okay? That is the biggest blessing that we have received in our lives. So today, for all of you who are here, who are Christians, who say that, yes, I am born again, I'm a Christian, and I'm a child of God, that is the biggest blessing that you have received in your life. And if that is the blessing that you have received in your life, are you going to keep it to yourself, or are you going to bless others? That is the miracle that we want to see, right? So don't say that, oh, I don't have money, I don't have things to give to bless other people. What we have is time. And each one of us have the same amount of time. It's what you want to do with your time. Are you going to use it to see the need? Find the opportunity? If you do that, you'll see that miracle. All right? You'll see that miracle. So again, church, if you want to live a life that is blessed, so that you can be a blessing to people, you need to find the, you need to see the need, find the opportunity, then the miracle will happen. Okay? I want to leave with you this question. You know, what have you been blessed with lately that you can bless others with? Okay? The thing is, sometimes, again, who do you want to focus on? Who do you want to focus? What do you want to focus at? All right? Is it the challenge? Or is it God? We serve a God who is unlimited. In our limited capacity, God can work miracles. Okay? So as you close our eyes and pray, you know, I just want to challenge you all. Ask God to show you the need. Next 1 week, okay, in the next 1 week, ask God, God, show me the need so that I can find the opportunity and see that miracle happen in my life and also the life of the person. Okay, I just give you all like, probably a couple of minutes, you know, say that short prayer to the Lord and believe. And I guarantee you, you will see that miracle. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for being our Abba Father, our unlimited God, where you can make all things possible. We just, as we focus upon you, Father Lord Jesus, we want to ask God, in the next 1 week, show us a need. Show us a need, Lord Jesus, that we can respond to. Show us the need, Lord, that we can respond to, so that we can take this opportunity, Lord, to bless the people around us, oh God, and see that miracle happen in our life. Lord, we want to thank you, God, for the greatest gift that you have given us, O Lord Jesus. The greatest blessing, which is your Son, Jesus. So amazing, Lord. You are so amazing. Hallelujah. You know, this moment, I just want to ask, you know, send out an invitation. For those of you who has been touched, you know, and you feel that, I want to know this God, but I have not accepted Jesus into my heart before. If you are that person, you know, I just want to encourage you. If you want to accept Christ into your heart, just put up your hands. Just put up your hands and you know, let this be a step of faith and say, Lord, yes, this is what I want. To be blessed by you. You just put up your hands if you want to receive Christ in your heart. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Sharamana. So I believe every one of us here are Christians, right? All of us have received Christ in our heart. Second invitation is to all those of you who feel that you are dry and, you know, say, Lord, I want to rededicate my life to you and I want to be a blessing to the people around me. So you bless me, God. And you want God to retouch your life again. Just put up your hands and, you know, pastors are here, leaders are here, they will pray for you. Okay, so you just come forward, you know, just come forward and believe that God will touch you today so that you can see the miracle that's happening in your life. All right, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, we so on. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And believe, oh Lord, that yes, oh God, miracles will happen, oh Lord Jesus. Well, thank you, God. My name is Jesus.